Good afternoon. This is Deacon Mike Murphy from St. Mary Catholic Church and School, and we will be reflecting upon the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The Pharisees went off and plotted how they might entrap Jesus in speech. They sent their disciples to him with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are a truthful man, and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth, and you are not concerned with anyone's opinion. For you do not regard a person's status. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not?" Knowing their malice, Jesus said, "Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin that pays the census tax." Then they handed him the Roman coin. He said to them, "Whose image is this, and whose inscription?" They replied, "Caesar's." At that he said to them, "Then repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." The Gospel of the Lord. The Pharisees thought they had a foolproof trap for Jesus. They thought they had him between a rock and a hard place. They put a clever question before Jesus, whose answer would either cut into his popularity and discredit him before the people, or maybe get him in trouble with the Roman Empire. After flattering him with insincere compliments, they asked him if it was lawful to pay taxes to the Romans. If he says that the tax is right, he would stir up the anger of the people, who resented and hated the tax. If he said no, then the Romans would arrest him as a revolutionary. Jesus says, "Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, the coins in your pocket, for instance. And once you've done that, give to God what belongs to God." After he asked them whose image is on the coin, he asked them whose image was on them. All his enemies knew that Scripture said that we were made in the image of God. Jesus wanted them to understand that with God's image on their very lives, they belonged to God. All they could do was shake their heads in silence and walk away. Jesus is asking us in our day to look at what belongs to Caesar, our government, and what belongs to God, our Creator. First of all, this is not about separation of church and state, a widely misused term in use today. Some would say it's about paying our tax bill on April 15th and giving to God an hour in church on Christmas and Easter. Our lives are not clearly divided into things in the public arena and things of God. We pay taxes, obey the laws of the land, and respect the rights of other citizens. So the question before us is, what belongs to God? Everything. All that we have, all that we are, all that is, indeed all that will ever be, belongs to the Creator of all things. My answer is that God is the source of everything in my life. He directs every beat of my heart and every breath I take. He gave me my family and my marriage. He has blessed me with certain talents and abilities. He has given me health, finances, and friends, and a certain time to live on this earth. Finally, He created me and all of you with certain inalienable rights and freedoms and much more. All is from Him, and I offer it all back to Him as I seek to use every divine gift to give Him glory. God created everything there is, every atom, every beam of light, every spirit. All the galaxies and every living cell come from his hand. All creation belongs to him. I belong to him. My children belong to him. The number of days he's given me on this earth belong to him. The spark of life that exists in every one of us is from God. So if everything is already his, what does he want from me? What can I possibly give God that he doesn't have already? St. Paul helps us with the answer. He wants me to have faith in him, to love him, and to hope in him always. God wants no less than all of me. He desires my every waking moment to give him glory and honor in what I think, say, and do. Each day I give him the first fruits of my day, not just the leftovers. I ask him to please accept my humble but genuine praise and gratitude for all he has done for me. To quote Bishop Robert Barron, God is the deepest source and inspiration for everything in life, from sports to law, to the arts, to science and medicine. God is love itself. Everything comes from God and returns to God. The only things we will take with us when we leave this world are what we have done to serve God and the good works we have done for others. Nothing else. In case you've been living under a rock, let me be the first to tell you that there's an election coming up. Yeah, who knew that? How did that sneak up on us? Let's see if today's gospel has any relevance to voting. First of all, I'm not going to tell you who you should vote for, because that would get me in deep trouble with my pastor. Also, with the IRS and maybe I wouldn't get out of here alive. But we can look at some general principles that our Catholic faith teaches us. Catholics are expected to participate in public policy by their vote and their work for a just society that defends and recognizes dignity in all human life. The U.S. Catholic bishops have written a wonderful guide for us. It's called Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship. Along with the Catechism of the Catholic Church, these two documents contain the principles and Catholic values that we must consider when casting our votes. I know some of you have already voted, but many have not. Our church teaches us that it is our duty to vote and participate in public life. It also teaches us that we must do so with well-formed consciences that reflect gospel values. Consciences formed not only by pundits and campaign speeches and attack ads, but by prayer and the wisdom found in Scripture. We are reminded of the core tenet of our faith, the belief in the dignity found in every person without distinction. Recent popes have pointed out that all issues before us are not equal in importance or carry equal weight. There are some that are at the top of the heap and are non-negotiable. Some issues involve principles that can never be abandoned, such as the fundamental right to life and marriage as the union of one man and one woman. The bishops write, quote, abortion and euthanasia have become preeminent threats to human life and dignity because they directly attack life itself, the most fundamental good and the condition for all others. Abortion, the deliberate killing of a human being before birth, is never morally acceptable and must always be opposed. The purposeful taking of human life by assisted suicide and euthanasia is not an act of mercy, but an unjustifiable assault on human life. Now, these are not my personal opinions, although I agree with them. These are the teachings of the Catholic Church. The truth is that life begins at conception and must be protected and reverenced until natural death. That belief forms who we are as Catholics. The defense of the unborn human life is not equal in importance to how we deal with climate change or economic programs. If one candidate supports protection of the unborn, while another does not, and even promises to resist any restrictions on abortion and to return to taxpayer-funded abortions, the choice for a Catholic in good conscience is clear. No candidate or political party perfectly fulfills all the values and teachings of our Church. What you and I must do is know that what the Church teaches and examine carefully which candidates comes the closest to following them. We also must pray before marking our ballots. We must open our hearts to the guidance of the Holy Spirit and do our best to follow it. In closing, after the election and the results known, many people are going to be disappointed that their man or woman didn't win. As Jesus told his disciples at the Last Supper, I tell you today, do not let your hearts be troubled. I call your attention to St. Paul's words that our hope is not in man, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is above every nation and government. It is beautifully stated in Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build. Unless the Lord guards the city, in vain does the watchman keep vigil. In the book of Isaiah, we hear how God, 600 years before Christ, chose a pagan king to free the Jews from 50 years of exile in Babylon. He enabled Persian King Cyrus to conquer the Babylonian Empire and set the Jewish exiles free. Cyrus even gave them construction materials to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. So, if God can use a pagan king like Cyrus to do his work, he can use a flawed president, Congress, or Supreme Court to do it also. And let us close with a prayer for our election and for those casting ballots, so that we may elect men and women who respect life, marriage, the family, and religious freedom. It's called the Prayer of Surrender by St. Ignatius of Loyola, and it answers the question, what belongs to God? Take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my entire will, all that I have and call my own. You have given all to me. To you, Lord, I return it. Everything is yours. Do with it what you will. Give me only your love and your grace. That is enough for me. Amen. And please pray that God will continue to bless the United States of America.